the height of humbling himself. And this is what dua is all about. So our understanding of dua, that is just to ask for our needs, that's not what dua is confined to. Yes, in dua we'll ask all our needs too. We'll ask all our needs of dunya as well, and more importantly, ask of our needs of akhirat. We will certainly do that. But this must not escape us, that this is ibadat. Now when that reality is in a person's heart and mind, that dua itself is ibadat and the essence of ibadat. And we have been created for ibadat. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. So when this is the reality, that dua itself is an ibadat and a very great, the essence of ibadat, and we are created for ibadat. So now the person will not be, because he has something to ask in terms of his needs, so he'll make dua. Because there's a problem, now he'll make dua. Dua will be part of his life. And when he has a need, he'll ask his need also. When there's a problem, he'll ask Allah Ta'ala to remove the difficulty as well. But dua will be part of his life because this is ibadat. The arifin, those who are blessed with the marifat of Allah Ta'ala, they don't only make dua because they have some need to ask or some problem to get out of the way. They engage in abundant dua because this is the means of communicating with Allah Ta'ala. So they wait for that moment to be able to communicate with Allah Ta'ala. So therefore dua must become a part and parcel of our lives. Not just at the time when, for example, there's some congregational dua, some combined dua, then we are part of it. No, in our individual time, on a daily basis, there must be some dedicated time to connect with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, pour our hearts out to Him. Many a times, a person has some issues, some difficulties, whatever problems. So now he's looking for somebody to talk to. He finally ends up talking to someone or the other, and he just offloaded everything. The person who he said, whatever he said to, the person who he spoke to, the person will give him some dua maybe. Perhaps he might have some advice to give him. Maybe no, sometimes something he'll be able to advise him. Many times he doesn't even have anything that he can tell him. The nature of the problem is such that he is unable to even suggest. It's beyond his understanding or his capacity. But now the person who spoke to him and gave him all the whole detail about everything, he then after says, well, no, I just felt a little bit lighter. I had somebody to just offload on. I was just looking for somebody to offload everything on. So I felt a little bit lighter. So now we're looking for some makhluk to offload so that we feel lighter. There cannot be any better place to present our issues than to talk to Allah Ta'ala. That when a person genuinely pours his heart out to Allah Ta'ala, there can't be anything better than that. Because the makhluk are all helpless. But Allah Ta'ala is the Qadir Mutlaq. Allah has full qudrat to remove that difficulty in one go. And if in the hikmah and the wisdom of Allah Ta'ala that there should be some other solution for him, Allah is able to give it to him. And if it's a test, then Allah will grant him the sabr on that test. So in any case, the point is that dua is not just for a purpose of getting our needs fulfilled or to remove our difficulties. That too is part of dua. But dua is itself an ibadat and a very great ibadat. In the month of Ramadan, there's a very close link between Ramadan and dua as well. Just as there's a direct link between Ramadan and the Quran Sharif, in the ayat of the Quran Sharif where the aspect of Ramadan is mentioned, شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ. The month of Ramadan is that month in which the Quran Sharif was revealed. The ayat that comes immediately after is, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيمٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. So the discussion is about Ramadan. And immediately after is the ayat about dua. So there's a connection that this is a time at the month of Ramadan in particular that Allah Ta'ala commands the angels that are holding up the arsh that now you don't engage in any tasbih and other recitations. Now your responsibility, your job is that you must say Ameen to the dua of the fasting people. Subhanallah. Those who are engaged in dua, those who are fasting and engaged in dua, you say Ameen to them. So the Hamalatul Arsh, the angels who are holding aloft the Arsh of Allah Ta'ala, they are making Ameen to the duas of those who are fasting. There's a very direct link, dua. And dua is after all ibadat in itself. The essence of ibadat and Ramadan is a time to really engross ourselves in ibadat. So why would that not be a part of the specialities of Ramadan? So in any case, dua, this must be part of our life. Then to make the dua more effective, one is to even be conscious about what is very crucial in even the basic level of acceptance of that dua. So one of the very crucial aspects is to be very conscious about halal and haram. Because if haram comes into the whole equation, haram is consumed, person's income in some way is tainted with haram, he's wearing something that's now come from a source that is not 100% halal, or the food is consumed, the food may be halal, but the income that was used to buy it was not 100% halal. Then this becomes a barrier from a person's du'as being accepted. There's a hadith sharif, when Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to highlight this, gives an example. Person who's traveling in the desert and he's now long journey, very, very tired, dust laden, and he's got no provisions. He's now in a desperate situation. And in this very desperate situation, very pitiful condition, he's making dua. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that he now is beseeching Allah Ta'ala, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi. But then, nothing's happening. The dua is not answered. Why? وَمَطْعَمُهُ حَرَامٌ What he consumed was haram. وَمَشْرَبُهُ حَرَامٌ وَمَلْبَسُهُ حَرَامٌ His clothing was from haram sources. فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَابُ لِذَلِكَ So how can his dua get accepted? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is asking, wait, is it possible his dua will get accepted? Despite the apparent condition being such that it will melt anybody's heart, but he's created such a barrier with the haram. So a person has to be very, very conscious about halal and haram for the acceptance of dua. Then some general points regarding dua. Dua, that dua is answered by Allah Ta'ala when that dua is with an attentive heart. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْمَعُ دُعَاءَ قَلْبٍ لَاهِنْ The Hadith Sharif Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Allah Ta'ala does not listen to the dua of an inattentive heart. Person is asking something, but his tongue is saying something because he's learnt it, his parrot fashion, he's saying it, but his heart is somewhere else. So he's not asking Allah Ta'ala. He's just repeating some words, but he's not asking Allah Ta'ala. If he's asking Allah Ta'ala, his heart will be asking. So that's the very important aspect, that the heart must be in the dua. For the barakat of the masnoon du'as, he first make some of the du'as, even if he's not familiar with the meaning of those du'as. Though we should try those du'as that we make often, we should try to learn the meaning, at least have an understanding of what it means. But then to ask in our own words, in the language that we understand best, because du'a is all about connecting with Allah Ta'ala. So to ask in our own words in a way that we can best beg from Allah Ta'ala. Then another aspect in with regards to dua is, what has been mentioned is, that to ask repeatedly. To ask repeatedly. And when it will get answered, Allah knows, but that repeated asking will open that door. Another aspect about dua, in one hadith sharif it is mentioned that أَقْرَبُ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدُ بِرَبِّهِ وَهُوَ سَاجِدٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ وَهُوَ سَاجِدٌ فَأَكْثِرُوا مِنَ الدُّعَاءِ أو كَمَا قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. That a person is closest to Allah Ta'ala in sajda. So therefore, make abundant dua, make an effort in dua in that posture of sajda. So now when a person is in sajda, for example, now he's making his nafil salah. So in the nafil salah, but obviously in salah you cannot make dua in any other language, it will be in Arabic. The Masnoon du'as or any dua in Arabic only obviously. But this is an opportunity to make dua, this is the posture that a person gets closest to Allah Ta'ala. And we should make a practice of this. And it will help us to make lengthy sajdas as well in our nawafil. And to ask Allah Ta'ala in this posture. So the simple du'as also that we are aware of. But to make these du'as in sajda, many a times we have so many issues. They are very comprehensive du'as that take care of all our issues. We should learn these du'as. In these very comprehensive du'as, in sajda, subhanallah, what will be the effect of that? So with earnestness, with the heart and soul in it, and begging Allah Ta'ala, one of the very, very concise du'as, in one hadith, Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha mentions, that if Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to make one du'a only, he would make this du'a. And if he wanted to make a lengthy du'a, then he'll certainly include this. And it's a du'a we all know very well. But take the opportunity in our sajdas to make it also. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنًا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنًا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Dunya and akhirat, everything is encompassed in this. One of the most comprehensive du'as. Now to repeatedly, several times, 3 times, 5 times, deeply asking Allah Ta'ala, begging from Him, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنًا. Ya Allah, grant us the good of dunya. What is the good of dunya? There's a complete detail behind this. What is the good of dunya? Our understanding of what is the good of dunya is often only confined to something material. Whereas the good of dunya is beyond this. Barkat in things also is included in it. And then more importantly, wa fil akhirati hasana. Allah grant us the good of akhirat and save us from the fire of Jahannam. So these are some aspects that we should be trying to be conscious about and take these opportunities in our sajda, etc., to make dua. And as mentioned, that dua must become part of our life daily. Begging Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness, begging Allah Ta'ala's help. The same thing we'll ask over and over again. But Allah knows best which moment of acceptance it might meet, and our dunya and akhirat will get meet. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Just to our normal practice of the ma'mulat, some of the morning and evening recitations, so just to get into the practice of these things. These are the prescriptions that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself has given for the protection from all the difficulties and hardships, for the means of bringing barakat and connecting ourselves to Allah Ta'ala. So there's so many different du'as, many different recitations, just a few of them, 2 or 3 of them that we will practice now, just to make it part of our daily system. We'll do it in this manner now collectively, but it is for us to do it daily in our own time. It's morning and evening. We'll do it now in the morning. It's for evening as well. So among the few things that we will revise now and bring into our practice, one is what is in the Hadith Sharif. The person, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, who recites أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم 3 times, and then recites the last 3 ayat of Surah Al-Hashr. So the virtue that is mentioned in the Hadith Sharif, that he recites it in the morning, 70,000 angels make dua and maghfirat for him till the evening. And how much we are in need of this, that the malaika make dua and maghfirat for us, subhanallah. And he recites it in the evening, then 70,000 angels make dua and maghfirat for him till the morning. And if he passes away in that time, mata shaheedan, he attains a degree of shahadat, a level of shahadat. So it might sound that's such an easy thing, such a great virtue, so it's so easy, then why not do it? That is unfortunately where we get deceived sometimes, that it sounds so easy, to we don't even do it. Whereas Allah's treasures are unlimited. But a person now focuses himself, there's so much to gain. So inshallah we will recite this now. So to try and bear in mind the virtue as well whenever we're reciting it, and to practice it morning and evening. And now and after we've gone from i'tikaf as well, we make it part and parcel of our daily tarteem, our ma'mool and practice, that we recite this. A'udhu billahi as-sami'il 'aleem minash shaitanir rajeem. أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم والله الذي لا إله إلا هو عالم الغيب والشهادة والرحمن الرحيم والله الذي لا إله إلا هو الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر سبحان الله عما يشركون والله الخالق البارئ المصور له الأسماء الحسنى يسبح له ما في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم. One hadith, an sahabi, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was a very stormy night and he suddenly met Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, read. So he asked, read what? So he then taught him, recite Surah Ikhlas three times with Bismillah, then Surah Falak three times, then Surah Nas three times. And then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, Yakfika min kulli shay. This will suffice for you from everything. So now what is this everything? So all these issues that we have, somebody has a problem with jinn, jadu and black magic and all these other aspects of this nature. And then all the risks and dangers that we keep fearing all the time. So this is a protection from all that. So morning and evening, three times each, these three surahs with Bismillah. The very important aspect is the yaqeen. That what Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and it's authentically reported, then there should be 100% conviction in it. If a person is doing something as a, okay, try it out, let's see, then the try it out thing won't work. Because he's testing out something, he doesn't have trust in it. He's still experimenting. Experiment is where there's nothing that has been given to us in the Quran and Sunnah. So now on a permissible level, something permissible, he's experimenting. Some medication now, he's experimenting. Putting some ingredients together and experimenting. Maybe this might work for some flu, it might work for some other ailment. And then he discovers it doesn't work also sometimes. That's experiment in those things. But what has come to us in the Quran Sharif, in the Sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no experimenting there. That is wholehearted acceptance. And with full conviction to practice on it. No ifs and buts in it. Then the person will see the effect of it also. So, inshallah, we should make this part and parcel of our daily practice. We'll recite this now. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Qul huwallahu ahad. Allahu samad. Lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Qul huwallahu ahad. Allahu samad. Lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Qul huwallahu ahad. Allahu samad. Lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Qul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq min sharri ma khalaq. ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس. Person who recites حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم 7 times morning and evening. Then كفاه الله من Allah Ta'ala will take care of all his needs of dunya and akhirat. So these are all simple prescriptions, but so much to gain out of it. The crucial aspect again, the yaqeen. حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. إن شاء الله at 12 PM 12 to 12:30 there will be some talim. We try to participate in that as well.